This is an ABC podcast.
Hello, this is CoronaCast, a podcast all about the coronavirus. I'm health reporter Tegan Taylor.
And I'm physician and journalist Dr. Norman Swan. It's Thursday, the 30th of July.
So we've been talking a lot about Victoria recently, but it's time to change it up a bit. We've got Queensland closing its borders to Sydney again, but we've seen two new people in Queensland test positive who've come from Victoria over the last couple of days. So is closing the border to Sydney an overreaction?
Well, it is uncertain what's happening in Sydney at the moment. I should declare an interest here, Tegan, so that we're just completely straight on CoronaCast.
Oh, yes.
I had booked a long weekend in far north Queensland, and this is now totally stuffed up. So you and the CoronaCast audience can judge just how fair my commentary is, given I've just ploughed all that money away. But anyway, coming back to the point, just made me feel better telling you. So look, it's not absolutely clear how much virus there is in Sydney at the moment. The cases are still mid to high teens. There are more clusters emerging. There are one or two cases that they've got where they don't know where they've caught the infection. So Sydney is, as the Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, has been saying, on a knife edge, and it could get worse. And the key thing in this, which we've been saying in CoronaCast for a long time now, is that you go in hard and you go in early. Therefore, I think it's probably quite reasonable that Queensland shuts its borders to people from Greater Sydney because they don't know what's going on.
Even if it does inconvenience you.
I just want people to know how fair my commentary is. Here's the big test. But seriously, it's I think going in early is the right thing to do. The question is New South Wales going hard enough, early enough? And I don't mean lockdown. I do mean, though, masks and social distancing. And given that masks probably improve social distancing because it's a sign to keep away. And I think probably the time has come for Sydney to mandate masks, public transport, cinemas, in supermarkets and so on. Probably about time to say maybe we should have a week or two off gymnasia, even though they haven't been a prominent feature of this. There are one or two gyms in Sydney which are implicated in spread with their clusters. And being super careful in restaurants with going back down to even fewer guests perhaps in restaurants. And just get this under control. Because if you, you know, and that's not going to lockdown, that's simply just, and I know restaurants suffer out of this, is just really clamping things down where you can. And there's very little economic cost to say to people, you have to wear a mask when you leave the house. Yeah, obviously you take it off if you go to a restaurant, but it makes people really aware they've got to be super careful.
But coming back to the idea of border closures and that sort of thing, if we've the two cases in Queensland, yesterday there was a lot of talk about how these two people had been out and about with symptoms potentially for like 8 days. There's a chance that we could see cases take off in Queensland again. And if that's the case, is there any point in closing borders?
Well, WHO would say no, but our experience in Australia is different and disagrees with that. I mean, it's not good having borders closed. There's no question about that. But I suppose if I was the chief health officer in Queensland, Jeanette Young, I'd be saying, I want to deal with the problem I've got and control that rather than have to worry that there might be people getting off the plane at Coolangatta or Brisbane or Cairns, carrying the virus from Sydney. That would just complicate our efforts. I know we've got these two girls, young women. We know kind of where they've been. We know where when they're likely to be infectious. Let's tie this one down and not make it more difficult for ourselves that there could be people coming off planes and making it worse. Let's get back to where we were would be the way I'd be thinking about it if I was her. And it could well be. I mean, who knows? It could be that these two cases have tipped Queensland over the edge and just said, okay, we were prepared to give Sydney the benefit of the doubt. But now that we've got our own cases to investigate, let's just put the borders down again. And it's not completely. You've still got presumably rural and regional New South Wales able to go to Queensland, and you get things under control again. I mean, I think it's understandable.
Just really rationing those local resources so that they don't get overstretched.
Yeah, that things aren't coming from you for every which way. It's highly unlikely, but you saw what happened with just a single man arriving in southwest Sydney from Victoria. That's probably the source of most of what's happened in New South Wales over the last couple of weeks.
So let's take some questions from our audience. And Philip's asking about comments that you made, Norman, that this time is worse in Victoria because it's community spread and it was originally imported. But he's asking, why are other countries which have had large community spread not getting a comparable immediate increase in cases when lockdown is released, even though they haven't reached the very low levels of spread achieved in Victoria?
Well, it's true there's a time lag. You know, cases are coming back in Italy. We've seen Britain putting up quarantine measures for people coming back from Spain because Spain has seen a resurgence in certain places. But it has taken a while. It took a while for it to come back up. The virus hasn't changed. There's no evidence at the moment that there's a different, more aggressive strain around. I mean, it's possible, but nobody's saying that they've found that. And they're looking at the genetics of these viruses all the time and tracing them back. What changes is our behavior. And I think what's likely is that when you've got the first wave coming through, you've got lockdown, people change their behavior, the social distancing. And then when that is relaxed, people go back to where they were before, maybe not straight away, but slowly and steadily. And eventually it reaches a point where the virus sees that there's a vulnerability and it starts taking off again. And I think that's the easiest and most obvious explanation. It might not be the right one, but I think it's the one that most people are running with, is that it's our behavior that changes. We lose social distancing, we forget about various things, and we go back to where we were, and it takes off. And that's what we're seeing in various places at the moment.
A question from Diana. She's a healthy 33-year-old woman, and she's developed large raised red patches on her big toes, which are itchy and uncomfortable. She's worried it might be COVID toes, but she has no other symptoms. Do we think she should get a test?
I'm trying to think of what conditions might give you itchy red big toes, unless you've changed shoe recently. But I think that if you've got red patches on your toes, regardless of other symptoms, you should get tested for COVID-19, because COVID toes is a real phenomenon. It's usually in younger people. It's often in children. But it doesn't mean to say it can't happen in somebody as ancient as 33 years old, Diana.
Do we know what causes COVID toes? Is it blood vessels breaking or something else, or we just don't know yet?
The assumption is that it's a form of vasculitis, in other words, an inflammation of the blood vessels, and for some reason just localized to the feet. Although I think in some people, although it's localized to the feet, they can find signs of it elsewhere when they look more closely. But yep, it is a phenomenon. Nobody knows why it's just the feet, but it's almost certainly an inflammation of the blood vessels, also known as vasculitis.
So let's take a couple of minutes to talk about some research, because we know that people can have detectable virus for some time after being sick with COVID-19. But what do we know about how long they're actually infectious for? This is something that we get a lot of questions about. So if people are in isolation for, say, 14 days, Norman, what do we know about whether this is the right length of time?
Well, there's a new paper out on this, which is still not peer reviewed. So you'd have to just take it with a bit of a pinch of salt, but it looks as if it's quite well done. It's a review of available studies of people with SARS-CoV-2 infection and also comparing with SARS-CoV-1 and MERS. Bottom line here is you can find virus in stools for quite a long time, 83 days, 59 days, 60 days from some studies, just depending on which samples they look at, looking at stool, looking at throat and nose swabs. Although they found virus there, the question is it live virus and able to infect? And the conclusion they came to, the bottom line from reviewing all these studies, is there's been no evidence of live virus beyond 9 days after symptoms have started. So if you assume that on average it takes 5 days for symptoms to start, then 9 days from there is 14. So that assumes that 14 days is pretty safe. There will be some people with a longer incubation period, in which case, and if they had 9 days, then one or two people are going to slip through. But by and large, it looks as though the 14 days is pretty safe from this study.
It's hard though, because the test that we use only looks for the RNA of the virus, so the genetic code of the virus, and doesn't really tell us if the virus is live or not.
That's right. And that's why, you know, for all these reasons, that's why they're not so obsessed with testing during the 14 days. People get perplexed. Why am I not being tested if I'm in isolation? Victoria, in hotel quarantine, you get tested at the beginning, you get tested towards the end, just in case you've become positive. This is all related to symptoms. It doesn't tell you what the situation is if you are asymptomatic and you've got the virus. So there'll be people in hotel quarantine who are asymptomatic, and you wouldn't be too sure if they're asymptomatic when the day of the symptoms would have been had they had symptoms. So it's the asymptomatic people that give you a bit of doubt here, which means that in isolation you should be tested just to try and give some sort of surety to it. But on average, 14 days looks pretty safe.
Well, that's all we've got time for in CoronaCast today.
If you want to ask a question, go to abc.net.au/coronavirus. You can also leave a comment if you feel moved to do so, and we'll see you tomorrow.
See you then.